This next person is he's a pretty neat guy, Ellis Marcellus III. He's a local poet, photographer, community microloan officer, hack, father of three, and boring old dad who's definitely not cool and doesn't understand anything. And his three kids are here to testify that is in fact true. So please give a hand for Ellis Marcellus III.
Thank you. I'm going to try to tell two small stories with a scientific bridge in it. The first story is about my son who went to when he was in fourth grade at an elementary school in Baltimore City, got into, if people remember, the Pokemon business, trading cards, Pokemon things and shirts and stuff. And he collected a lot of Pokemon cards, which in my mind were essentially worthless. But apparently these cards had a lot of value. So he was in fourth grade, and I'm always amazed by the fact he was in fourth grade when this went happen. He goes to the school, and there's these Pokemon card trading sessions after school. And after one trading session, he apparently walks away with lots of money, and the kids had these cards. So some of the kids, I got a call from the principal who's like, you know, your son's taking money from the kids in the school. So I'm like, now I know him. I'm like, well, I know he's not taking money. So I go down there and I was like, what happened? Well, these kids came with money and then apparently the money was given to them by their parents for something else in the school. And it ended up with my son in my house. So I asked her, I said, well, what happened? And the principal's like, well, I don't really know what happened. All I know is they said the cards and something. So I find out what happened. The kids are trading the cards. And I asked Jang, I said, well, look, why don't you give them their money back? And he's like, well, okay, I'll give them their money back if they give me the cards back. So I said, well, some of the kids had cards, some of them didn't. So I told the principal, I said, look, we can do that, but we need the cards back. So the principal, on one particular day when I had talked to the principal, I had gone to the cafeteria, which is where this all happened. And I saw all of the kids around the cafeteria table, and the cards were in the middle and they're trading, and they were all actually seemingly having a good time. And I watched them, and I watched them trade. I watched them set aside all of the cards and assign a value to each type of card all on the fly and able to take each card with its card value and then instantly translate that into cash. And I'm looking at these kids and I'm realizing the kids aren't upset by this. The parents were upset by this. And it reminded me of when I was a kid when I used to trade marbles. We used to have all these different types of marbles, boulders and shooters and sparkles and red eyes. And we all instantly knew what was worth what and what was traded to what and how much if I had to buy a bag of marbles at Bynum's, which was the store. And I could just do it all in my head. And I realized watching them at the table that what I had read about years earlier when I was in school, when an anthropologist once said that the art of economy or trade is natural to the human being. It is not something that needs to be taught. And if you find yourself teaching trade, you're oftentimes teaching them about not to do it rather than to do it. And based on that, there was another anthropologist who, in the process of discovering, and I know most people don't know this, the oldest form of human writing that we have are these little tiny ceramic tablets that were written by or created by the Phoenicians, roughly 7,000 years old. And it took 11 years for the archaeologists to decipher the contents of these tablets. And what was on those tablets was contracts. All of them were contracts. I was hoping it would be like a story or a love poem, but it's contracts. Now, the second story. My grandpa was from Summit, Mississippi, and he moved to New Orleans from Summit, Mississippi, with a friend of his And so when they got to the big city, which is New Orleans, my grandpa was a businessman, and he had money, and he opened up a store and a gas station. But his friend was not a businessman. He was basically functionally illiterate. So my grandpa said, look, why don't you go down to the church? And the church has a job or something, you can work there. So he goes down to the church, and the reverend says, well, we have a job as a custodian, and he gives him an application, so you fill this out. So the man says, well, I'm sorry, reverend, I don't know how to read or write. So the reverend's like, well, I can't let you give you a job if you can't read or write. You got to be able to read or write because you got to clean and read chemicals. And so he said, okay. So he reverted back to what he was doing when he was in Summit, Mississippi. He was a junk man. So this is during World War II. So he, you know, goes about his business collecting junk. He sees junk, he collects it, cans, bottles, whatever, and he sells his junk. So years go by, you get close to the end of the year. Like when he was selling junk, he would go by downtown where there was this auto, was a car dealer, and he would look in the window, and the guy would always chase him away from the window. Because you've got to remember, he's in Louisiana. So he's like, you know, get out of here, boy. You can't afford nothing in here. So he goes into the store years later, and he asks the guy, he says, how much one of these cars cost? The guy goes, well, you know, he says, you can't afford anything in here, son. He says, well, I just want to know. He says, well, this car here was $8,700. With all the stuff you need to buy, probably like $8,900. And, you know, we can give you a loan application, but, you know, you're not going to get a loan, so I don't know I don't know what you're going to do. So he says, well, I want to buy one of these cars. And he says, well, that's funny. When you come up with $8,900, you can buy one of these cars. So he goes back to all the money he saved, and he gets his money together, and he goes into the car dealer, and he says, I want to buy one of these cars. And he gives the man $8,900. So he looks at the $8,900, and he says, boy, where'd you get this money from? He says, I've been saving it because I've been working. So he looked at it, and he brings all the paperwork together, and he says, okay, well, here's, you know, we'll get the state license stuff. So he puts the paperwork in front of him, and the guy looks at it and goes, I'm sorry, man, but I don't know how to read or write. So he looks at him, he says, you don't know how to read or write, and you got $8,900 from what you've been doing, you've been working. It says, this is amazing. He says, just think about where you would be if you could read or write. And he says, oh, I know exactly where I would be. I'd be the custodian down at the church.